Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Judges. Oh, I'm so excited about sharing this Bible study with you tonight. If you need one of these pink things, I hope you'll grab one. Raise your hand and we'll bring one to you. Let me give you this. Have you heard the name William Congreve? He was an English playwright, and he wrote many, many plays, but he was the one who coined the phrase, "Hell has no fury like a woman scorned." You ever heard that? "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." Let me tell you something. I was in the panhandle of Florida one day, and Kelly called me and she said, "Calvin, there's a rattlesnake in our yard." I said, "You're kidding me." And I was off at Blue Springs Baptist Assembly Campground, which is like Lake Yale, but it's in the panhandle. And I was looking at that camp, and I said, "Well, honey, just stay in the house and, you know, call Mr. Steinmeier." We had a neighbor, a retired man. We had great neighbors. And I said, "Call Mr. Steinmeier. Maybe he'll help you." So she called Mr. Steinmeier. He came over there with a shotgun, and they looked. That thing was on our road. We had a little road, dirt road, going driveway, going back to our house, and that thing was on the road. What happened was Jerry was riding his little bicycle, and he came up on that thing, and he ran into the house white as a ghost and said, "Mama, Mama, there's a snake outside." And she ran out there and saw that it was a rattlesnake about that long, a big old head on that thing. And so when she got close, that thing went off into the woods between our house and Mr. Steinmeier's. So she called me. I said, "Go call Mr. Steinmeier." So she called him. He came over there with a shotgun. Now I want you to picture this man with a shotgun and Kelly creeping behind him. You know, they're looking for this rattlesnake. Well, she got it in her mind that before the sun went down, there was going to be a dead rattlesnake. She was not going to let her babies, her kids, go to sleep that night knowing that. Now, who knows, there may have been 100 of them out there in those pine trees. But she wanted to make sure that one was going to be dead tonight. And so all day long, she peered into those woods. Matter of fact, she was so scared. We had an old Toyota van that was called a Previa. My kids called it the van that looked like a vacuum cleaner. It was that round one, you know? Anyway, and it had a sunroof on it. And so she had one of the kids kind of directing it, and she was through the sunroof looking out over that thing. She didn't want to get out there where that snake was. She was scared that snake was gonna get her. But yet, she was bound and determined that snake was gonna die that day. So she went up and down that driveway, about ran out a tank of gas looking for that snake. Finally, she spotted that snake in a thicket in there in some pine trees. So she got Mr. Steinmeier. She said, "Jerry, you run around there and get Mr. Steinmeier." And she never moved. She just watched where that thing was. And, of course, it just blends into everything. So Mr. Steinmeier went and got his gun. He creeped in there. Boom! Shot the head off that thing. So when I got home, she said, "Go out there and look in that bucket." Little white bucket, you know, like a paint bucket. And I looked out there, and I'm telling you, that thing was fat, man. That thing, I don't like snakes. Never have. And, the only good snake to me is a dead snake. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't care if it's a garter snake, a green snake, or whatever. If it's around me and I have the power, it will die, okay? But anyway, she said, "Go look in that bucket. It's got a piece of wood on it." And I said, all the kids were there. I said, "I want everybody in the house." I was scared I was going to get close, and they were going to come get me, you know. I would have went through the roof. But I wanted to see it. I've always been intrigued with snakes. I used to love to see, you know, at the Jacksonville Zoo, the reptiles, you know, and go see the snakes. But anyway, and I remember Ross Allen, Malcolm. You with me, brother? All right. I remember Ross Allen down there in Ocala, you know, and they had the snake show. But anyway, so I said, I want everybody in this house. And I went out there and I kicked that piece of wood off that thing, and I'm looking at it like this. You know, she said the thing was dead. They blew his head off, but I didn't care. I was going to make sure that thing wouldn't come out there and jump on me or something, you know. Well, anyway, I got wound up about that snake, and I skinned that thing, and that thing's at my house right now. That thing's about that long, diamondback rattlesnake. Kelly had decided that snake was going to die today, and she would have done everything in her power. Well, let me tell you, there was a powerful lady in the Bible. In Judges chapter 4 and 5, we read about Deborah. Now, we don't have time to review everything tonight, so you try to fill in those blanks. Use that as a little exam. Use that as a little test, little quiz to see if you can remember these principles. Folks, listen, y'all are faithful to be here. It'd be a tragedy for you to be here and not remember these things. So you get them in your mind. And that's important. So let's look at Judges chapter 4, verse 1. When Ehud was dead, now Ehud was a judge of Israel, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Here was the pattern in the book of Judges. God would get the people's attention, and they would repent and turn to him. And then the world would come in and distract them away. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like the way we live too often, doesn't it? And so the enemies would distract them away, and they would begin to worship the enemy's gods, and life was just terrible. They were rejecting the Lord, worshiping other gods, and then God would raise up a judge. Samson was a judge. We've studied Samson. Samson was a judge in Israel, and they would go and they would defeat the enemy of God, and then the people would turn back to the Lord. But then the pattern happened over and over and over again. Well, what happened was when Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hazor Sheth, Hagoyim, verse 3, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. This enemy of God had oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, God was using this woman to speak the word of God. Now look, we don't have prophets or prophetesses in the New Testament era like they did in the Old Testament era. In the Old Testament, a prophet spoke the very words of God. Now that we have this, when I say this, that means the word of God. Now that we have the word of God, we don't have prophets. Listen, I am just teaching the Bible. You could do it. You can, and you do look at the scripture and study it for yourself. But one thing a pastor does is the church enables him to pray and enables him to study and to dig at a level, and hopefully I can deliver some truth in a way that will encourage the people of God. That is the New Testament pattern. But make no mistake about it, I'm not sharing anything that's not already right here, right? But in the Old Testament, they didn't have it that way. And so the prophet would stand up and speak, and I'm telling you, it was as the word of God. And here was Deborah, who was a prophetess, and she was doing that. And so she was a very interesting character in Scripture that we're looking at here tonight. So verse 4, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. All right, number one, Deborah means bee. B-E-E, like a honeybee. Bzzz. They say that a bee is very intelligent. And a lot of people believe Deborah had great wisdom. She was, that word means be. She was a judge. And I've mentioned that we don't have judges today like we did. Now, I do think that men of God ought to be preaching in a way that confronts the culture, that makes a difference in the culture. I tell you, our culture is, you can hardly keep up with the way Satan is destroying the standard by which we know right and wrong in this country and in this world. And part of the work that we do as a church is to teach God's word in such a way that we will know when the culture errs and when the culture's going in the wrong direction. We can live according to the word of God. And so that's what she did. She was a judge, you see, in verse 4. She married this man, Lapidoth, and his name means, this is one of your blanks there, lightning flashes. Some of you ladies say, yeah, that kind of describes my husband. Man, I'm telling you, can you imagine? Man, he was no weakling necessarily. Just by his name, you have the impression that, boom, he could just react to something. And so they were a team. But now, it's interesting that God put them together, and it's a wonderful story of how God used her in a special way. God has a plan for both the man and the woman in the home to make an eternal impact for him. And so, anyway, she married Lapidoth, which means lightning flashes. Now, go to chapter 5, verse 7. It says, village life ceased. Now, this is the song of Deborah. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I want you to see this phrase here. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. She arose is the blank. Let me tell you something. This lady was fiery. She was fiery. She was not going to sit back and let, as a matter of fact, it even says, arose a mother in Israel. Tell you what, when her kids were involved, she thought of herself perhaps as a mother over the children of Israel, as a judge, but also as a mother herself. That's why I was thinking this would have been a good Mother's Day sermon. We need some women to arise. That's what Deborah did. And she, the Bible says she arose. And see, what happened was she was judging Israel and hearing about all of the impact these 20 years with Jabin, who was the king of Canaan, how he had oppressed God's people. And so finally she arose. Now, I want you to look at this. Number two, Deborah's confidence was in the Lord. That's the blank there, number two, confidence. Deborah's confidence was in the Lord. In verse 5 it says, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with the chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. So here she was. She had confidence in the Lord. She said to the men of Israel, she said, let's rise up, Barak. You are supposed to be a leader. Let's rise up and let's get our men and let's go defeat this man, Sisera, his general. And so her confidence was in the Lord. Now, Barak, number three, insisted, well, let's look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Well, let me read verse 7. Well, we already read verse 7. Go to verse 8. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, don't you love that? If you will go with me, then I will go. Go with me, honey. I don't want to go by myself. She said, cannot you, Barak, Get some men together and let's go defeat this infidel. Will you go with me? Just an interesting thing there. Now, was this weakness? That's the blank. Or wisdom? The jury's out on that. I think it's some of both. I think that Barak knew the power of God was on this woman, Deborah. I think he knew that if this woman was involved in this endeavor, that God would bless it. But at the same time, you kind of wonder what would have happened had he taken the initiative. You know, I'll never forget years ago hearing this statement, the number one distinguishing quality of a man. And man, I was on the edge of my seat, and then they salted me forever. They wouldn't even tell me what the quality was. They'd say, you want to know what the number one? And I would think, it's courage. And they say, no, it's not courage. You know, it's strength. No, it's not strength. And they just went on and on. You know what it is? I tell you what, we'll talk about it next week. I'll tell you what it is next week. No, it's initiative. Initiative. Men typically are passive. I know because I are one. You find a man who sees something that needs to be done and of his own volition takes the initiative and gets it done. You got you a prize right there. And I tell you, ladies, young ladies, I wish all our college girls were here. I would not settle for any man that would not get up and go get something done. You know, they say that a man has to go get up and kill something and bring it home for dinner. You know, in other words, you got to take some initiative. That is a distinguishing factor. But here's this man who says, well, that sounds like a good idea. Would you go with me? So anyway, I don't know whether it was weakness or wisdom. I think it could be given. I don't want to take too much away from old Barak, but he did say it that way. Now, look at this. In verse 8, if you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I'm not going to go. I love that. Verse 9, so she said, I will surely go with you, but I love this point. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. If you have to take me, then there's not going to be any glory for you because you had to take me. All right? Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. All right? So her confidence was in the Lord. Barak insisted that she go with him, and this was weakness. Was it weakness or wisdom? But here's the thing about Deborah. Deborah was a motivator. Deborah was a motivator. If you follow this story along, they gathered up tribes. They gathered up soldiers. They wanted 10,000 soldiers to be on Mount Tabor, and then Sisera was going to come against them, all right? So here's what happened in verse, let's look at verse 12. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron. They say that he had 100,000 troops, okay? We had 10,000, all right? And all the people who were with him from Herosheth, Hagoyim, to the river Kishon. Then Deborah, now here's where she motivates. Look at this. Then Deborah said to Barak, up! I love that. Get up! She said, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Notice she talked to him in the past tense. This is the day the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. It was as if it was a done deal. That's how her confidence was so in the Lord. And she was motivating him. Get up, Barak, let's go do this war, do this battle. And so she was a motivator. God showed up. Look at chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says this. Lord, when you went out, now by the way, after the battle, we don't have time to read both these whole chapters of the Bible here, but you read them later and study this. Chapter 4 gives the details of it. Chapter 5 is the song of Deborah. This is the song of praise to Deborah. But in chapter 5, verse 4, it says, Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. What happened was God showed up in the flood waters. That's the blank. In the flood waters, and Sisera panicked. In other words, you can't pull a chariot through all that mud. They were in a river. They were in a riverbed. And it was normally dry, and yet when God got involved in this thing, he had 900 chariots of iron, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake, and there was water gushing from the mountain, and it was the clouds were releasing water, and so they got stuck. All those chariots got stuck, and it was so bad that Sisera alighted from the chariot and got on foot and ran. Now, the story that we're not really going to get much into this, but the story, look at this. I want you to see. This is amazing. And back in chapter 4, it says that he fled on foot. Verse 16, but Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Herosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, this is an interesting part of the story. Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael. Now, this is just a little sidelight story. She was the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. She put him inside, said, I'll hide you in here. Put a blanket on him. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him again. And he said to her, now stand at the door of the tent, and if anyone comes and inquires of you and says, is there a man here? You say no. Don't you love those simple instructions? Don't tell him I'm here. Okay? Now tell me this isn't something. Tell me the Bible's not exciting. Man, you could make a TV show out of this. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg. Oh my goodness. Just imagine. She took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. And she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. Here's a guy sleeping. The general of Jabin, the king of Canaan, and he's trying to get some rest, and he's fast asleep. And she goes, I got to go get something. I don't have a spear. But I do know one thing I've got. I've got a tent peg and a hammer. And she pinned that guy's head to the ground. And the rest of the story is Sisera came and saw it and everything. And, I mean, it's an amazing story. But anyway, so Sisera, needless to say, he didn't make it through that battle either. Okay? But Deborah was a motivator, and God showed up in those flood waters. Now, as we close, let me say this. Deborah stood. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. In verse 7, it says, village life ceased. This was her song. She's saying, things got bad. Village life ceased. As a matter of fact, we've studied Shamgar. You remember that guy Shamgar? He's an awesome guy too, man. This guy like knew kung fu with a rod, man. He was like taking out the Philistines. But anyway, that's another message. It says in verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the day of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. In other words, no one walked on the main roads. It was so much chaos. Hey, there's places in our world. You know, it used to be people. Now, I don't remember this myself, okay, because I don't want to own up and say I'm lived during this time. But I have people tell me all the time, we never locked our doors. Now, I just want to go on record that I always lock my door, so I'm not of that generation. I'm just kidding, y'all. No, but they said we never locked our doors. I mean, it was safe. You know, it's not that way anymore. And there are places in this world, you go outside at night, you're in trouble. Well, that's the way it was in these days. Now, it says in verse 7, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. A mother in Israel. They, talking about her people, they chose new gods. In other words, things were so bad that there was war in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. You could find God's people, and there was not one warrior that would stand for him in among 40,000 people. They were serving other gods. So here's number 6. Deborah stood when others worshiped false gods. Now, here's the question, what are we going to do? Here's what I think her answer is, and I'm going to share one more thing with you, and I'm done. The bottom of that blank, that long blank at the bottom, is I would just say this. Be bold for God when others won't. That's what Deborah did. There was no warrior that would take the people of God down there to defeat the enemies of God, but Deborah, this lady, this prophetess, this judge in Israel said, well, Barak, let's get up some men, go down there and fight this. The Lord will be with us. And he said, I'll go if you'll go. And they did, and the Lord prevailed. But thank the Lord that she took the initiative and did that. In 2000, one of the most distinguished honors that we have ever had in our family happened at our home. Elizabeth Elliott, the wife of Jim Elliott, came to our church, and they approached Kelly because she was coming on Mother's Day. And everybody on Mother's Day has dinner at their own house and has, you know, their own family there, pretty much is what normally happens. And so they were thinking about getting all the women of the church together to be with Elizabeth Elliott. She was to speak to the women of the church. But then they were trying to decide, what do you do for lunch for her? Well, we could have all the ladies together, and they realized it's Mother's Day. All these women are going to be going to their own house with their own kids. So Miss Gynell Freeman at the church called Kelly one day and said, Kelly, would you like to have Elizabeth Elliott after she speaks in your home? Well, Kelly had devoured everything she'd ever read. And so we had the privilege of having Elizabeth, we were nervous as nervous could be, because she always talked about how that, you know, if you really run your family right, you know, your kids are all, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so we pulled out everything we knew to pull out, man. I was threatening them. I was hanging on, you know, I was hanging upside down. I was picking them up going, you better do this. You know, I mean, I was doing everything I could do so that they would sit still and eat their dinner, you know, appropriately. Do not throw that roll at Elizabeth Elliott. You know, things like that. So anyway, so she came, and she was such a blessing, and she wrote Kelly the sweetest note and even talked about her a little bit on the radio, and she had a radio broadcast. She has Alzheimer's right now, and they wrote her up in World Magazine recently. She lives, I think, in Boston. But these are some treasures. Can I tell you something? Elizabeth Elliott married Jim Elliott. They were students at Wheaton College, and they got married, and Jim said, I'm going to the mission field, and they went together. And in the 8th of January, 1956, Jim Elliott and his 5 friends that were missionaries there were killed by the Alca Indians in what was a place called Palm Beach on the Currier River in Ecuador. And so anyway, come on, come on, come on right here. You're good. Give me 5 right here. There you go. But anyway, and so, but Elizabeth Elliot, listen to what she did. They murdered her husband, and she went back. Now you tell me that's not a strong woman. And Nate Saint, whose son Steve Saint, they've got pictures in these books here. By the way, these books right here, you should read, you should take this book right here, Through Gates of Splendor. This is the story of the five missionaries, and you should read this to your kids. Because I'm telling you, this is power-packed right here. The story of people crying out to God to do God's will in a family. And it's powerful. It's powerful. This is out of our library. The first one up here to me tonight that wants to check this out, you get it, and you go take it in there and make sure they know you got it. But somebody needs to take this book home tonight and read this book to your family or read it to yourself. But anyway, she went back, and the Alka Indians, who were headhunters, see, their philosophy was, if you do something to me, I do it back to you, except I do it back to you worse. And eventually, it's in the murder. I mean, you know, you know, somebody in your family killed my great-granddaddy, so my job is to kill you, and they were just wiping everybody out. But when they killed Jim Elliot and those women, it wasn't just Elizabeth Elliot, but it was Rachel Saint, Nate Saint's, I started to tell you, Nate Saint's sister was Rachel. She was there translating in the language, and then Steve Saint lives down here in Ocala. He was there when his daddy, he was a little tyke about that big, when his daddy was murdered in Ecuador. But anyway, she went back there, and here's what the people said. They said, it had always been, you kill our people, we kill you. We killed you, and you didn't kill us. They didn't know how to deal with that. The man that killed Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Roger Udarian, Pete Fleming, those guys, that guy has been to the United States, brought here by Steve Saint, and given his testimony of how he is proclaiming Jesus to his own people. Because they had never seen love like that. Now, that's a strong woman. She went back there. She told us in our living room, she said, let me tell you something interesting. When you're in Ecuador and you're sleeping in an open, you're sleeping like this, and you're kind of like in more, kind of like an arbor with no walls on it. And she said, you'd be asleep and you'd wake up and you'd open your eyes and there'd be all these heads right there just looking at you. They'd be like this close, just watching you. She said, scare the daylights out of you. And I remember her teaching our kids. She said, wah. I don't even know what that means now. But anyway, she told our kids the Alka word, you know, wah. Anyway, they'll never forget that stuff. But the point is, what a strong woman. Here are three books from our library. This is The Life and Times of Jim Elliot. This is her biography of her husband. This is the one I was telling you about. This is the story of all five of them, called Through Gates of Splendor. Classic book. And by the way, John MacArthur, Chuck Swindoll, all these guys of that generation that have impacted thousands, they testify of the impact of those five men's lives. I have a reprint of Life magazine that did a feature on this. Then this is a classic. Elizabeth Elliot wrote The Shaping of a Christian Family. There's another book that we don't have called Man in Demand, and she calls out in this book, The Shaping of a Christian Family and Man in Demand, for men to stand up and lead their family in the ways of God. I'm telling you, this book here alone is unbelievable. But I've got the treasure of all treasures. This is a first edition of The Shadow of the Almighty. I also have a first edition of Through Gates of Splendor. And I'll tell you how I got it, and then we're going to say amen. One day, sitting over here in the office at North Central, I got an email from Wayne Harvey. our director of missions, and he said, Parkview Baptist Church is doing away with their library. They said, if you want anything they've got, come get it. Man, I owe y'all a day of vacation. Because I got out of my desk and I went to Parkview, and I think I spent all day in that room. I got two first editions. There's Jim Elliot on a mountaintop right there. This is a first edition print of that book, and I've got the Through Gates of Splendor. I also got unbelievable other books from that thing. But this is all, it's got the old deal in here. Well, I don't want to tear it up. It's got the old deal where you pull the card out and sign out, you know, and everything. And it says in here, you know, Parkview Baptist Library, but I've marked that out. It says now Calvin Carr's book. But anyway, but I'm telling you, treasures. But the bottom line is, here was a woman whom God, just like Deborah, whom God gave some backbone to do something unusual for him. And I just wonder who's here tonight, both men and women, whom God has called to make an eternal impact in somebody's life. I wonder about these kids right here, these children. Who among them is going to be an Elizabeth Elliot, a Jim Elliot, someone like that to make an impact that would go literally, a people group has come to know Jesus because of the commitment of Elizabeth Elliot. So anyway, these books are in our library. Y'all, our library is full of treasures, I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. Our library is better than the one they had. Now, they gave theirs away, and I got some of it. But I'm telling you, we've got an awesome library right there because there's classics in there. We've had a good library for decades. So there's old stuff in there that's powerful, okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.